If you don't, I'll kind of give you the short version. For most of my life, up till I was 45 years old, I was the quintessential agnostic. This all sounded very nice. All this religion stuff sounded very good. And I guess religious people are okay. They smile a lot. They have potlucks. But my experience was when I asked Christians, so tell me a little bit about how this works. Most of my life, my experience was, well, you know what? You got to go down and talk to my pastor. Well, I wasn't a seeker. So I concluded that Christians couldn't explain to me why they were a Christian. So why would I become a Christian? But time passed, changed, things changed, and I got to the point where with some wise folks, I started learning a little bit more about it. And I learned more about it. And I learned more about it. And what I learned was the linchpin about Christianity is this thing about the resurrection. Now, philosophers have once said that the resurrection cannot be true because nobody ever comes back from the dead. Well, that's fine. The problem with that is if someone did come back from the dead, what would that mean? And that's where we come to the resurrection. I had the opportunity once to teach for almost 4 or 5 semesters, I don't remember, a class called Philosophy of Religion. And I studied the philosophical groundings of 5 major world religions. 5 major world religions contains about 75-80% of the world's population. All 5 religions, without exceptions, revered this man, Jesus of Nazareth, as the wise teacher, one of the greatest philosophical teachers that ever lived. In Islam, he's called, the New Testament is called the Injil, and he is revered as the greatest prophet who ever lived, other than Muhammad. All people of a religious mind revere this Jesus. And yet some of them fall away on this one issue. And the sad part is, I've known Christians who say, well, yeah, I think Jesus is great, and I try to follow Jesus' teachings. But you ask them about the resurrection, they say, well, you know, I don't know about that part. I don't think that's that critical. As long as I kind of follow what he has to say. But see, Scripture doesn't give us that option. The resurrection matters. That was kind of the title today. The resurrection matters. And we're going to look into, we'll just go right ahead. We're going to look right into the Scriptures. If you have your Bible, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and the Corinthian church was kind of wandering away from the essential nature of Christianity. And he's got to pull them back. He's got to pull them back. One important aspect of the gospel is this resurrection thing. You cannot say you believe in Jesus Christ and not believe in the resurrection. There, I've thrown it down. You cannot believe in Jesus Christ and not believe in the resurrection. He has not given us that option. The Muslims say they believe in Jesus. The Quran mentions him 33 times. And yet, they deny that he is God. Why? Because they don't believe in the resurrection. So the question is, if you're drifting along in life and you don't have any faith, you don't have any a belief in this crucifixion or this Christian things, what are you going to do when the lights go out, folks? You know what I'm talking about? What are you going to do when the lights go out? About a week or so, a very, very dear, dear friend of mine, or my whole family, we got a call at 9:30 at night, and the daughter said, you got to come over to the house, mom's down, and I can't wake her up. And by the time we got there, there's 12 dozen paramedics and police and all that stuff. And then within the hour, she was gone. She had no medical problems that we were aware of. She was just gone. But you see, Linda loved the Lord. Her children all loved the Lord. She was raising her grandchildren in the Lord. But in that instant, when she was alone, maybe she knew that this was the moment. I want to believe that she had some peace around that. Why? Because when the lights go out, if you don't have Jesus, you're going into the dark. So what are you going to do when the lights go out? So that's what we want to talk about with the resurrection today. So we're going to get into Scripture. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, we look for inspiration, we look for truth, we look for motivation that we would be led to believe in you as you have called us to do so. So bless the reading of the word, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll begin here with Paul making some pretty bold statements. Now, some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't believe there was any such thing as a resurrection. So some of the early Christians who started out as Jews were clinging to this idea. So he says to them very clearly, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Wow. That's putting it all on the line. If Christ has not been raised, Christianity is a bunch of hooey. Funny thing to hear from a pulpit, isn't it? But see, I read Paul, who met the living Jesus, but I also spent time studying, trying to convince my brain what my heart was already telling me. And what I've learned by years and re-years of research. I've been to Israel. I've looked at the tomb. I've walked where Jesus walked. I've connected the dots on the stories. I am absolutely convinced that the resurrection actually happened. And if you, for those of you who are scholastically minded, let me give you a little tidbit on how the formula works. There are basically about four things that no scholar anywhere disagrees with. Right? So this isn't religion, this isn't faith, this is scholars, even non-believing scholars. They all believe that there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth. The record is absolutely clear. There's no doubt about it. There really was one. He's not a mythical character. He's referred to just very bluntly in non-biblical places. So there was a man named Jesus Christ. It is an absolute fact that this man, Jesus Christ, was crucified on a Roman cross under the procurator, Pontius Pilate. Nobody doubts that. There was a Jesus dead, buried in a tomb, and on the third day the tomb was empty. Now you get a little bit of argument there. Was the tomb empty? Was the tomb not empty? But generally speaking, there really isn't much disagreement about whether the tomb was empty or not. So there was a man named Jesus, and there was a crucifixion. He died, he was buried in a tomb, and on the third day, the tomb was empty. So what does that prove? Well, here's the problem. And if you want to have this conversation another time, I can do that. There's been about 12 or 14 different explanations for the empty tomb over decades and centuries. Not one of them matches all the facts. Oh, yeah, I'll just do a couple. Oh, the disciples stole the body. Really? Go back and read the story. The disciples ran away like chickens. They were hiding. They were afraid the Romans were going to come and get them. So to go steal the body would have been stupid. They were scared. Well, they stole the body and they just wanted to create a new religion. Really? You living in Judea, which is run by the Jews, they have the all of the authority. And we're thinking with a 20th century mind, if I start a new religion, I can get, you know, like a mansion and a jet and all that kind of stuff. Starting a religion, that's cool. In that time, you would never be able to start a new religion, especially not in Jerusalem. There would be nothing in it for you. You couldn't get rich starting a religion. So that's crazy. Oh, the authorities stole the body. Really? The authorities wanted Jesus dead in the tomb. To take the body out of the tomb would have been counter to what they wanted to do. And it goes on and on. Jesus had a twin, and it goes down the line. But every single one of those doesn't match up with the facts. So Jesus died. Jesus was buried in a tomb, and on the third day, that tomb was empty. So we have an explanation that God raised him from the dead. And what Paul is saying, if that didn't happen, the religion is nonsense. And here's why. His death, burial, and resurrection is what frees us from our sin problem. If there is no resurrection from the dead, if there is no sacrifice for our sins, then you still have your sins. So with Paul is putting it this way, it's all or nothing. We go on and he says in Hebrews, well, I don't know if it's Paul, that's another argument. Here's what we have to deal with. In Hebrews it says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So what are you going to do with the lights out? If Jesus is not raised from the dead, you or me and everybody else is going to die. And we believe that after death there is judgment. You don't want to go into that darkness alone. You want Jesus by your side. Paul goes on in this, John goes on and he says this. Remember Lazarus? He raises Lazarus from the dead. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, did that happen? Well, here's what we know. One of the reasons the authorities were angry with Jesus is because he had raised Lazarus from the dead, and he was afraid. They were afraid that this was going to get more and more people to follow him. They didn't dispute whether Lazarus was raised from the dead. They were just dealing with the outcomes of that. Now, why are we talking all about death? You see, Easter's all supposed to be about he is risen. He is risen indeed. And we're all celebrating he's alive. And that's true. But if he hasn't died, then your sins have not been forgiven. See, we're all faced judgment. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That just simply means unless you are perfect, according to God's definition of perfect, you fall short. And all have fallen short. Everybody has a sin problem. You can't fix that on your own. No amount of good works can fix that. Jesus steps in by dying for you in your place. He takes care of that sin problem for you. So nobody argues that Lazarus came back from the dead, and that's kind of why he keeps getting in trouble with everybody. Well, let's stick to the text. In verse 15, Paul goes on. He says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. So Paul is upping the ante here. Do you get it? Not only is he saying, if Christ has not died, your religion is in vain. Everything that I have been preaching, Paul says, has been for nothing if Christ has not been raised from the dead. And he's putting it all on the line. It's all or nothing. He goes on to say, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Now we're dealing with people who say, well, nobody comes back from the dead. Well, Paul agrees with you. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. What are you going to do when the lights go out, folks? Are you going to have Jesus with you or not? That's the question. And it's a tough question because we don't want to deal with death. We don't want to talk about death. We'll just assume that it'll all sort of work out. When I get to the other side, God and I will have a conversation and we'll talk it over. And if I've been good enough, he'll let me in. Where do you get that? Where do you get that? Nowhere in Scripture. Nowhere. It's all or nothing. It's the resurrection or nothing. Now, for those of you who died in Christ, like my friend Linda who just passed away, here's the good news. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished without Christ. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. He's saying that those who have died, if there's no resurrection, those who have died believing in this are completely lost. But here's the deal, folks. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Death is defeated. Death loses. Death could not hold him. And he has promised that based on his resurrection, Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I will come back for you, and I will bring you to where I am. That's the hope that you have, because Christ has been raised from the dead. When a follower of Jesus closes his or her eyes in death, they will open them to pure glory. So on this Easter, if there was ever a time when you would face the darkness, it is my hope, it's my prayer, that you will not face it alone, that you will not go into the dark alone, that you will go in hand with Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to, I have another video for you just before we close, because we want to end up on a high note, right? Because he is risen. Oh, come on. He is risen. There we go. There we go. There's the Christians. And the good news is he's alive.